Hey Charles, you ever think about the good old days?
What do you mean, Matt?
Remember how once upon a time, all it took to build a workforce was a couple of ads in the classified section of the local newspaper, and hey presto, you've got yourself a staff of employees.
Well, yeah, I remember that, but that's not the way the world is anymore, man. You know, last couple of years, everyone's gotten used to working from home, and that means businesses have a whole plethora of factors that they have to consider now when hiring talent.
Tell me about it. I mean, which markets should I hire from? Like, how can I stand out from the other hiring companies? What can I do to make sure the talent I bring on board stays?
Exactly. You know, I've actually been speaking to some people about this shift in the working world, and I think you, as well as our listeners, might learn a thing or two if you'd like to hear me out.
Listeners.
My name is Charles Ferguson, and I'm the APAC General Manager at GP. And my co-host is Tech in Asia Studios Managing Editor, Nathaniel Fetivero. In this four-episode podcast mini-series, we're going to explore the new age of hiring and how businesses of today and tomorrow can navigate the talent economy of the future. Welcome to A Startup's Guide to Remote Talent.
All right, Charles. I think the first thing we need to talk about when discussing the remote age of working is how businesses can even get started hiring.
That's a great point. And it's something that I discussed at length with Imran Mohammed, who heads marketing at a decentralized finance company called Kyber Network.
But I think if you kind of go back to this idea of what is work, I think what has been defined previously is probably an outcome of, like, you know, the industrial age. And I think with what's going on today with technology, today with decentralization, most recently with the pandemic and all, I think it threw a lot of assumptions out the window, right? The assumption that we all have to be in the same room to be productive. Clearly, that's not the case anymore because the world hasn't burned down. And especially in a world where, you know, a lot of what Web3 is all about is about saying, hey, as an individual user today, you can create and own. And in a creator economy, when people are saying, hey, I don't want to be an employee with you, but I can work with you. And I'm in Spain and I can produce its output.
Right. So this whole remote working culture basically gives you the opportunity to tap into talent from all over the world. You're not just restricted to people in the country or city your business is headquartered in.
Yeah, but the thing businesses need to understand is that transitioning into remote working culture doesn't just open you up to the opportunities Imran was talking about a while ago, because now even the people in your vicinity might not be so psyched about having to go into the office.
I can't say that I've done any survey.
Fair.
But what I can speak of from experience, so I'm married. I have two kids and a third one on the way. So
congrats.
Thank you. But so obviously there are different priorities, right?
Of course.
And even for myself, I want to get stuff done, but it cannot be also with the sacrifice of other things, which are more important to me,
of
right?
Of course.
Right? And I see this even more so with my wife, who literally has taken multiple times off work, sabbatical, quit job, so on and so forth. And because kids are the priority in her head. And there is no alternative before something like this really happens in terms of a remote revolution, right?
Yep.
So I think with such opportunities in play now, it become a real reality where someone like my wife, who has 8 to 10 years of marketing experience in Fortune 500 companies, can say, hey, I could potentially get a gig that I can utilize my skill sets, experience, contribute productively, feel that I'm being paid a fair wage and still have the balance that I want, because she wants to be at home. She wants to pick up the kids. She wants to be there and not delegate that to an after school daycare, for example.
Totally.
You know, Charles, I can already imagine what some companies have to say in response to that. Like, if my employees don't come into the office, then how can I tell that they're actually working?
Yeah, that's why you see so many companies start rushing back towards what was previously considered quote unquote normal, or in some cases decide to take a hybrid approach where some days you got to be in the office while other days are spent, I guess, wherever you want.
Yeah, but isn't that super frustrating for employees though? Because honestly, I'd hate Mondays so much more if I had to come into the office.
That's exactly my point. you and I and all the other workers out there are beginning to value the choice of whether or not we work in an office or from home, or even from the sunny beaches of Bali for that matter. What businesses need to realize is that the choice is just one step away from choosing to work for an employer with a better and more trusting remote working environment.
I think what's missing there is a lack of nuance.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because there are jobs where you have to be resident.
Sure.
Because it's high tech. The tools are there. The yes. clean lab is there. Whatever it is. Or it's a service industry. But again, it's a free world. You can choose where you want to work. Right?
That's right.
But where there is choice and then you say, I don't trust you. I think that's a very strong signal. And I think it's a very small world today. And, you know, if people don't trust that you will take them as a honest, genuine worker, employee, yeah. contributor, then there are many, many other companies and organizations that would likely be willing to give them that same or better wage and trust them more.
But does that mean companies just have to deal with the fact that their workers might not be working when they want them to be? Like, that's the trade-off you have to make to ensure that you're an attractive enough employment prospect for the increasingly remote world and the talent that resides there?
Not exactly. Imran and I talked about that as well.
What are some of the ways that you think are creative ways to ensure, at least, that you're providing for retention opportunity in a business place that's remote like this?
There used to be the famous Google, I think, I can't remember, they call it 10% or 20% time.
Mm. Yeah, I remember that.
I think they scaled down on that, to be
probably.
Honest.
it's probably like the 2% time now.
but I think that is a concept that I think is very interesting. If I'm not wrong, it generated some ideas like Google, like Gmail, for example.
Right.
So clearly having the ability to let your people ideate outside of the boundaries of OKRs or KPIs can generate business outcomes if there is an overarching framework idea that we can hold people towards. I think with that, I think with what Kyber Network or KyberSwap does, a lot of what happens in terms of our innovation actually happens through the ideas of our people. So I think a very important part of it is how do we create a big enough vision, idea, and goal that people can look at and say, I can nest my ideas, my contributions, my creations, my goals, my dreams in this. And in a industry where it's kind of like a flash in the pan,
yeah,
sometimes, right? I had the CEO ask me when I was still considering, and he said, what will keep you with the company for a long, long time? And I knew then that they are an organization that's really looking at how do we keep and retain people for a long time. And so I think that's one very important part, right? Because I personally, in my journey, have always looked at how do I optimize my own skill set, my own contributions for the greatest impact while taking care of my family, right? Because I do want to do something meaningful. And that's why I think with an industry like ours, you have like an incredible opportunity to create stuff, right? Like I give a very simple analogy,
please.
Right? Like if you're an automotive engineer today, would you be going to dedicate your next 10 years to building the better diesel engine?
Right.
Or the better or next electric engine?
Of course.
I think the answer is obvious.
Yes.
Right. So regardless.
Right. So it seems like a remote working culture that not only trusts employees to get their work done, but also empowers them to innovate in the areas they feel drawn to, can actually be extremely beneficial to the company in question, because in exchange, the business also gets the boon of both attracting new talent and retaining the ones they have for a long, long time.
So exactly. Plus, if you have a culture that encourages innovation, you'll be a magnet for innovative people.
Okay, but how about for companies that need talent like right now? How do they go about searching for these kinds of workers that will embrace that culture that we just talked about? And what if they're looking for talent that has a very specific and highly coveted set of skills?
Well, Kyber Network actually had to ask itself that question when it started out 5 years ago.
By definition, Kyber is a pioneer. So we're a pioneer in the DeFi space before the term DeFi was invented.
Yep.
And so we've been here for 5 years. By definition, the industry is early adopters. So people who are in the industry as talent builders or people who are users even, they're all early adopters, right? In whichever bell curve you're looking at. So by definition, it's a tough ask in terms of looking for talent. Just because when I'm looking for people, I'm looking for people with both functional and industry knowledge.
Yes.
And if it's not proven industry knowledge, 2 years experience, yeah. It is... show me your portfolio.
Right.
Tell me what degen stuff you've done. Like I've collected airdrops or I bought this NFT and I lost money or whatever it is, right?
Yes.
But it cannot be someone that say, I've heard of blockchain and I'm willing to learn.
Right.
And there's just no proven enthusiasm or interest, right? So by definition, like the type of people that I would look for would be a very small segment of the population. Then now, the challenge would be, how do I find them? So we're primarily based in Singapore, Vietnam, but we do have talent like in Germany, Indonesia, and the rest of Europe, in Korea, Japan. So the challenge is, how do we find the talent? It's like a needle in a haystack, right? And how do we stand out in front of other employers as well? So we do work with like universities to sponsor the events, hackathons and
great.
Stuff like that. Like 80% of our staff are engineers.
That's great.
So hackathons are very important for us to identify good talent and position ourselves in front of good talent.
Right.
And what we also do find is our user market tends to overlap with our talent market as well.
Right on. Right?
So that means our talents tend to also be heavy users.
Sure.
Right. So
that's helpful.
That is helpful, right? So what then that means is that actually market education helps us as well. So on our side, we obviously work with people like Tech in Asia. We also work with very crypto specific publications and platforms, your Binance, your CoinGecko.
Sure.
We work with foundations like Ethereum Foundation, Polygon, and so on and so forth, right? So all these, the more that we do education, outreach, I think it also helps in terms of the brand awareness as well as that employer awareness. So, but, you know, at the end of the day, it still comes down to a lot of like hustle, push, referral, so on and so forth, right? Even like scouting and headhunting as well, like I'm guilty of using my LinkedIn premium and going down and looking for marketing managers because I'm like, I really need like this specific kind of person.
Absolutely.
And reaching
that's
out to
them.
That's
what it's for, man.
Well.
There's nothing guilty about that.
Yeah. So I think the answer is like many, many facets, but it is a very global world right now. Mm-hmm. We've also found some of our part-time or even full-timers through platforms like Upwork and Fiverr, where we started out on part-time basis or ad hoc basis,
yeah.
then part-time, then full-time as
yep.
well. So the channels and the areas of entry are also many different ones as well.
So I'd imagine that a global business like Kyber Network would need to look at hiring global talent as well, right? How do they go about doing that?
Well, it's interesting because the approach depends on the business, obviously. Some companies might need a number of employees to be awake and working at different times of the day, so they'll make sure to hire talent across different time zones. Others might simply focus on markets that they have a strong presence in or even markets that they're looking to expand into.
So our business isn't structured based at looking at geographies.
Right.
So DeFi is global. What this means is that when I market globally. We don't target any specific countries. Mm. We do have users from, you know, many, many dozens of countries, but we do have certain affinity to certain locations.
Sure.
So what we find that works for us in the past is that organically they would start to build up a base of users And I wouldn't even look at it from a geography, but we look at it from like a language perspective.
Yep.
So for example, I have community moderators in Japanese, in Korean, in Turkish, and in Indonesian, right? And Mandarin as well. And the latest one that we set up was Indonesia. And it was because that we saw that there's some organic growth in the Indonesian users based on web visits and all that.
Yep.
And we also had a good opportunity where a very enthusiastic community member said, "Hey, I would love to take on the mantle. I would even volunteer to just moderate the community."
And awesome.
It came to a point where we said, "Hey, no, we actually would love to work with you on a deeper level if you want." And so we do find that again, at least for our side, the industry tends to be very early adopters, which by definition take a lot of proactivity.
Yes.
Right. So when it comes to having to push and pull the talent in, what I find is that, at least in my experience, it doesn't work as well. But again, it's a very different situation for each employer.
Right?
But yeah, so that's how we look at it. At least on the various communities, it tends to be by language, and it tends to be based on organic growth first.
So are y'all aligning yourselves to some extent around time zones? Because whilst I realize that your construct is global in its very nature, there are still particular markets that have a higher propensity to adopt what you're bringing to market than others, right? Perhaps Uganda might not be a top market for you today. It might be later. But as you mentioned earlier, Vietnam and Singapore has concentration and now Indonesia and Mandarin-speaking North Asia and Japan, et cetera. What's next for Kyber Networks with respect to the remote work? Is this the future of work?
I mean, for us, I think it's very much the present.
right on.
we primarily right now, most of our people are operating within Singapore, Asian or European time zones.
Mm.
I mean, surprisingly, we do have a decent number of users that come in from like places like Brazil, for example. But we don't necessarily need to have a specific person based in that time zone in order to serve them, at least not yet. But we might do that in the future. Who knows, right? So I think, again, depending on where it organically grows, we might look at that. I think with our industry the way it is, a big part of what's going to happen moving forward has to lie between the discussions that happen within the industry and regulators and central banks, for example.
Sure.
I think there's no other way around it. Regulation is important. Protecting consumers are important. Weeding out bad actors are important. So we stand by that. Very happy to share that we are 5 years with a reputation of not being having any relations to scams or hacks, right? And that's not something that is commonplace within the industry as well. But again, for the talent and the industry and the whole market to evolve, I think beyond the early adopters, those will need to happen. And I think once those discussions happen, once there's greater clarity, I think the policies and the hiring will also evolve alongside it.
Right. So to recap, businesses need to prime themselves for the new remote working era by trusting their employees and empowering them to innovate, because people's priorities have drastically changed and what they want in an employer now is very different from before. And this in turn labels them as innovative employers, which makes it much easier for them to recruit quality talent from universities while potentially being able to poach workers from less adaptive businesses in the space. And all that leads to greater talent retention, which means workers don't bring the skills and expertise they've gained at their jobs somewhere else.
You get an A for paying attention, Nat. Very succinctly put.
Okay. But how do you keep that culture of innovation and the embrace of remote working alive? I'd imagine it'd be easier for some people than others. And just drastically shifting into a remote working concept might just lead some of the less adaptive yet still very talented employees to seek other opportunities.
This is a great question and a great segue. I'll answer this in the next episode. And to all of you listening, thank you for listening to A Startup's Guide to Remote Talent, a Tech in Asia podcast produced in partnership with GP. Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast platform so you can catch the rest of the episodes we have in store for you, where we'll be discussing everything you need to know about the future of remote talent and then the remote talent economy. If you're on an app and it lets you go ahead and give us 5 stars and a review, it really helps us out.
And while you're at it, we gotta give special thanks to Imran Mohammed from Kyber Network for sharing his wisdom and expertise with us on this episode. We'll put links to his LinkedIn profile in the show notes if you wanna get in touch with him. And if you're interested in a job at Kyber Network, check out the Tech in Asia jobs board, where the company has a handful of open roles put up.
That's right. And if you're a business owner or a business leader and you need or want some assistance in figuring out your remote talent strategy, visit GP's website at g-p.com and we'll be sure to help you out. I've been Charles.
And I'm Nat. We'll catch you next time.